Hi, first of all, I wanted to say thank you so much. That was so inspiring. Thank you so much. My question is, what does the light look like?
There are no human words, really. A brilliance, I don't know, I don't have the words for it. Maybe someone else has a better use of the word, but I don't.
Thank you for sharing. I was wondering if you think that these experiences are becoming more common.
I do.
And why?
I do. I do believe they're becoming more common. I also believe that we've really made a mess of humanity and our world. And I think there's some kind of intervention to help us to become more loving and to elevate human consciousness to light consciousness, to God consciousness. And I do believe that it is an evolutionary thrust upward toward this.
Have you had any encounter with the 9 hooded companions?
I don't know who they are, because they had their hoods over their face. So, in my experience, they probably have appeared in my life to help me, because many people have done that, but I don't know if they're the ones, or I thank everyone who comes into my presence to help me. It's a gift. Small or little or tiny, it's a gift.
I'm sure you were expecting this question, but
you said that that as you moved away, that this was an illusion.
Yes.
Could you share a little bit with that?
Man, it's like it was a dream. All I can tell you is that when I lifted out and saw, I had entered into the real reality, the real dimension. Everything else was not real.
I'm wondering if you could just tell if you have any opinion about how we could use the illusion or get away from the illusion or what, anything about that.
Ego is the culprit in a lot of this. The more we reveal ourselves as light, the more authentic, the more real we are, because the light is the only reality there is. So you could read books, take classes, or whatever, in ways to help heal your ego. You know, it's not such a bad thing, it's just that it doesn't know a lot of things. And so your true self, your authentic self, knows, and you can be guided from within to help heal the ego, so that you can begin using the ego in other ways that will be helpful to humanity and so forth, by, you know, other things. But spiritually speaking, it's more important for you to give your love and your light out, because that's your home, that's your reality.
I want to ask you, before you say that, you believe that our consciousness is going to raise?
Yes.
Do you believe that, or did you see that while you were in the light? And also, what did you see there? And is the weather change part of that?
Oh, you know, I don't know anything about weather changes or prophecies and things like that. Those would just be my beliefs, although I have had experiences. But I'm analytical, and I have a tendency to dismiss things that come to me unless, you know, if it hasn't happened yet, I'm kind of like, I don't know. You know, I doubt myself a lot. As far as consciousness raising higher, I saw that in the experience, that the more we raise our consciousness to light consciousness, the more evolved we become with the light.
Can you share with us a little bit about your one-on-one work that you do with people? And then my second question is, you mentioned that when you were young that you had mystical experiences.
Oh,
can you share those?
Yes. Thank you for asking that question. Yeah, as I said, I was, I don't know if I said, like I told Doug this afternoon, I'm Ukrainian Catholic, and going to church for me was awful because I couldn't understand a word the priest was saying. And my earliest recollection is about 4 years old. I say that because I can still see myself sitting in the pew with my legs just dangling over the edge of the pew and thinking 2 hours of service, and mother wouldn't let me fidget or anything like that, you know. So I hated going to church. And then I remembered one day, mother said, well, you know, we're going to God's house. This is where God lives. In a church. So you have to be a very good girl. He can still hear you if you want to talk to him, you know, in your prayers, because I learned how to pray, you know, at bedtime. He can hear you. So that's what I started to do. I started doing sitting in the church there, and I was telling him all about my weak little kitty stuff. And what happened was that without me realizing it, I had entered into a foggy, mist-like place. I no longer saw the priest, the altar boys, the stained glass windows. I was in this foggy, misty place, feeling so much love and so much joy and happiness. I loved being there. And I knew my friend, God, was there, although I didn't see God. I just knew that my friend was there and I couldn't talk to him. And then I remember my mother saying, come on, Nancy, we have to go now. Church is over. Oh, I really enjoyed talking with you, God. I love you very much. And distinctly, I heard a voice in my head saying, and I love you too, my child. Now, from that moment on, I blossomed spiritually. I went home and I put my father's bathrobe on and I set the bureau drawers up with the candles and I would pretend that I was the priest. And I would tell everybody in the bedroom how wonderful God is, you see, and how much they should love him because I just found this wonderful friend in that place, you know. And so my life from that point on, I became very, very spiritual. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I wrote it in my book at great length. I felt that I had a very deep personal connection, you know, with God all through my life. Very spiritual. In fact, I wanted to become a nun. That's how deep it was until I discovered boys. That one out the window. So anyway, when I got married, we went to the church. My husband is a non-believer. The priest said, well, you have to sign these papers agreeing that all children will be brought up in the Catholic faith. And my husband, who was a non-believer, said, oh, I'm not going to sign those papers. I believe in letting any children that we have decide for themselves, you know, what religion they're going to be. And I'm thinking, I was brought up to that anything the priest said was absolute truth. Don't question it. But the priest said to me, young lady, did you know that he's not a believer? Yes. Well, it's your duty as a Catholic and a Christian to convert him to Christianity, more specifically to Catholicism. So I want to see you in my office 3 times a week, 2-hour sessions at a time. The purpose was to indoctrinate me, to tell me that I was the worst human being on the face of the earth. The words that he said were, you are the scum of the earth. You are, God doesn't want to have anything to do with you anymore because you are intentionally choosing to marry an atheist over converting him to Catholicism and Christianity. God wants no part of you anymore. Don't even pray. God doesn't want you in his sight. And don't ever go to church again, because if you go to church, you will feel the wrath of God come upon you. And you will dirty up the clean sanctuary with your presence. Now, you know, I mean, now, you know, I have the mentality that if anyone said that to me, I'd say, oh, that's not true. But I didn't then, because I was raised to believe anything the priest said was absolute truth. And so what happened after that, I tried praying a couple times, but I never felt anything. And God doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. And I figured I was going to hell. at the end of my life. I believed that, truly. One time I went to a church and I thought, well, maybe if I go to a church where God lives, I'll be forgiven. And so I went in the church and I'm looking all around, you know. And I'm starting to shake, I'm getting nauseated. And those physical feelings, I said, oh, see, the priest was right. He told me if I go inside of the church, I will feel the wrath of God come upon me. And these feelings I'm having, you know, must be. I better get out of here. God doesn't want me here. So I went outside and I upchucked. And so from that moment on, I said, I'll never, ever again try to establish a connection with God again. Even though I loved him more than anything in the world, never stopped loving him. I just thought he stopped loving me. And I lived that way for 17 years. Didn't bring my children up to know God or anything like that. Never spoke the word in the house until my experience. And so now maybe you can put the pieces together and see how perhaps the light is maybe saying, oh, my child, you were so wrong. Let me show you how much I love you. You know? And it's not only for you, it's for everyone. And go tell everyone that I love. So I don't know why I said that, but there was a reason for it.
Thank you for coming. We were just wondering, you know, when you talked about your experience and you saw that your family and everyone would go away from you, has it been a struggle with your children and your husband too? Or did it come true of your family? And
everything came true. All my my friends left me, but I have wonderful friends, you know, who stepped in, spiritual friends now, into ears, and you know what I'm talking about. And they're just wonderful. They're a blessing in my life. And my family, they're moving in the direction that I would like them to move in. But they're still, you know, my husband's an engineer, and everything is black and white, and there's no gray. So he still doesn't believe that I haven't. He knows something happened, but he doesn't know what. But there must be a logical explanation, you know. But he's very, very supportive of me. He's very proud of what I'm doing. He doesn't understand it, but he knows that it's affecting me in such a beautiful and positive way that it can't help but spill over into my family, that they can see the results wrapped in it. And they're too analytical to
see. How many children did you have?
I have two sons.
Two sons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're okay with it too?
But they're like my husband. They know something happened, but they don't know what. You know, if they only would read, if they only would, you know, delve into the subject themselves, they would see that I'm not the only one. You know, there are millions of people who are having this experience.
You said part of your experience was receiving a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
Knowledge. Was any of that what we would consider scientific kind of knowledge?
I'll tell you what. Like most NDEers, we're not permitted to bring back a lot of that knowledge. I don't know why. Why wouldn't it be good for us, you know, for, as a cancer researcher myself, now retired, of course, wouldn't it be great for that information so I could give it back to humanity, the cure for cancer? No.
Is it the kind of thing where you hear some kind of information, you recognize that that's something that you
It's like, oh, of course I remember that, you know. But on my own, if I were to sit and think of something, you know.
I greatly appreciate you coming. I've experienced a lot of what you went through and have been blessed with. And I deeply appreciate all your comments because it has put me back, you know, to that place, and I understand the love of God and being in Him, with Him, and our lights merging together. It's a wonderful feeling, and we have been truly blessed, although we go through a lot of denial and people ridiculing and stuff like that. We are blessed. And we know it, and they don't. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that a part of you knows what I'm trying so earnestly to share. Thank you for that. It's a blessing for me.
I was just wondering if you find any place in your scripture reading.
I've never read the Bible because I never had any formal religious training. I tried reading the Bible years ago. Oh, this is neat. And I started with the beginning, okay? And what I was reading was so much anger and vengeful and wrath and punishment. And I thought, wow, this doesn't figure with what I experienced as a loving God. So I stopped reading that. And I turned to the New Testament and started reading that, especially Jesus' words. And it was like having another experience all over again. I could resonate with that. It was beautiful. Oh, these words are so true. These are so true. I want to share with you a gift that I received after this experience. I have a technique in which I pray for maybe about a half an hour in order to elevate my love consciousness to divine consciousness and really feel the connection there. And then if I have a question that I want to ask for guidance or something like that, I will hold the closed Bible over my heart, close my eyes, and I move my index finger a couple of inches away until I see a white light in the corner of my eye. At that exact moment, I poke my finger down into the Bible, and then I start reading, and always, always, I'm not exaggerating, the answer, the passage appears exactly what I was talking about. And it's so specific. It's not, you know, oh, well, that could be applied to everything. Here's a couple of examples what I'm talking about. Here, my prayer was, Lord, I have been invited to lead a spiritual retreat in Virginia, and I'm not sure what I should talk about. I was invited to do a spiritual retreat, and I had never attended spiritual retreats or retreats or workshops. I had never attended people's lectures. I don't know what they do with these things, okay? And yet, I heard myself saying, sure, I'll do a weekend retreat, a spiritual retreat. You know, sometimes I think, just using, you know, my words to make me do what I want to do. I told the program director, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. And as time was drawing near, he said, well, write up your schedule. We need to know what you're going to do from 9 to 11 and from 1 to 2 and then from 3 to 4. That's on Saturday. And then what are you going to do on Sunday? I don't know what retreats are like. So I was getting a little panicky, so I took it over, you know, to the one who knows more than I do. And I said, I don't know what to talk about. Okay, so that was my prayer, the answer that I was led to in this technique. Do not worry ahead of time about what you're going to say. When the time comes, say whatever is then given to you. For the words you speak will not be yours, they will come from the Holy Spirit. So I took that by absolute trust, I mean, not even a shred of doubt, that this is what I was led to do. I could have turned to the next page, okay? My finger would have been so specific like it was here. So I wrote to the program coordinator and I said, look, the Holy Spirit's going to lead this retreat. I'm just going to see what happens. I'm telling you, when I was introduced that Saturday morning, hello, everybody, you know, I had no idea what I was going to do. And when I opened my mouth, it came out. And the whole weekend was like that. It was amazing. That showed me that there's something working here beyond chance. A couple of other ones. Lord, this is the anniversary date of my mystical encounter with you. I promise to do the work you called me to do because I love you above all. Do you have a special message for me on this special day? Using my... close my eyes. I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. You are to tell others what you have seen of me today and what I will show you in the future. You are to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's chosen people. Lord, what shall I tell others seeking your divine wisdom? But if any of you lack wisdom, see, that's how specific. But if any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God who will give it to you, because God gives generously and graciously to all. But when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and blown about by the wind. If you are like that, unable to make up your mind and undecided in all you do, you must not think that you will receive anything from the Lord. See how specific? And I'm telling you, this works every single time I do it, and I've been doing this for years. So I guess in sharing that in the book is that I want you to know that we have a presence, a divine presence in you that wants a relationship with you and is bending over backwards to tell you, and that all these things are available to you as well.
Thank you very, very much for sharing. We want to buy both books. Are you writing the check out for $34 or $42?
$34. And you receive, if anyone buys a copy of either of these books, you will receive a free complimentary copy of Dr. Vernon Silvest's book, The Formula, Who Gets Sick, Who Gets Well, Who Is Unhappy, Who Is Happy, and Why. Dr. Silvest is a dear, dear friend of mine, and he just believes in my work so strongly that he has generously given his books to me to offer as a free gift to anyone who, you know, who purchases a copy of my book. He bought Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's farm, and he has a healing center there as well. He's a very spiritual man. He came from the brink of death himself and learned how to heal himself, and he's worked with many patients in the center. The book is endorsed by Deepak Chopra, Norman Shealy, M.D., Bernie Siegel, M.D. So it's a very good book, so we would appreciate it.
Let's give her a warm hand of applause and thank you all for coming.
May the long time to come shine upon you, all love surround you, and the sweet light within you guide you on your way. Thank you.